Welcome to the Keys of the Kingdom with Brother Gregory of His Holy Church.
Welcome to Keys of the Kingdom. I'm Brother Gregory, and we're going to talk about the Kingdom of God, and we're going to do it in relationship to cancers. And I sent out a notice that we would be talking about how to heal all cancers. And that included physical cancers, political cancers, religious cancers, social cancers, and spiritual cancers. Because cancer that we see in physical world, which everybody is so worried about and frightened of, and, you know, the death sentence, the big C, is an expression of a principle in creation that is very much a part of life. It's pandemic today in the world because we have turned our back on the process of life. And therefore, cancer occurs. And cancer will kill the host that it lives in. And the reason why is because we've already made a choice and a decision to do certain things that are against life, that are contrary to what life is really all about. And we're going to talk about that and what the difference between cure and heal is. And in the earlier shows, I read the definition of curing. And I said, you don't want to be cured. You get cancer, you do not want to be cured. You want to be healed. Because the definition of cure is defined as relieving the symptoms of a disease. It doesn't deal with the cause of the disease, doesn't get rid of the disease, it just relieves the symptoms. And there's a lot of money in that. You know, make the pain go away. You know, that's what people want. That's why they go to church. To make the pain go away. Most people go to church because it makes them feel better. Makes them think they're better. Makes them feel good. They don't go to church to do good. Why do people vote? They're going to elect their candidate because they think he's going to make them feel good. He's going to pay their rent. He's going to get benefits. And that's why, even though there's a dismal failure of social democracy throughout the history of mankind, it's very popular still because they don't care about tomorrow. They care about what they're going to get today. You see, and that's contrary to life. You know, a tree sprouts in the forest and begins to grow up towards the sunlight to get more energy from the sun. Its roots are going down into the soil to pull more energy out of the soil. You know, minerals, nutrients. It actually creates an environment around its roots that will be conducive to certain kinds of bacteria that will produce other elements into a state that the tree can take those elements up. So it's literally the outside of the roots and the environment around the root is literally doing what you do inside your gut, where your digestive system is breaking down with acids and enzymes. It's breaking down whatever it is that you consumed and transforming it into a situation where your body can pull those nutrients into your blood cells, and then your blood cells are going to work to move that nutrient where it needs to go, to feed cells down in the tip of your toes and the tip of your fingers and up in your brain and everywhere in your body. It's doing work. You got millions upon millions of cells in your body doing work to sustain your life. But cancer is not doing that. Cancer is interested in sustaining its own life. And so anyway, I read what healing is. Healing is to cause to become sound or healthy again. It actually deals with the cause, you know, whatever the injury or disease or whatever, it's going to help cause that to return to a healthy state. It's not dealing with the symptoms necessarily, but it is dealing with the cause. Both can give you relief, but you don't want to be cured. You want to be healed. Now, we're relating this, and this has got to become numerous shows. We've already done 2 hours on this, trying to run through all the different things. And what is that those people on the network have been given access to I don't know how many hours it is altogether, probably about 18 hours of a video that was put together, The Truth About Cancer. And it's got all kinds of information in it. And, you know, it talks about the drug wars, or not drug wars, but the war on cancer that was started back in 1971. And we correlated that with the war on drugs, which has produced more drugs and a whole drug industry, a criminal drug industry, and put thousands of people into jail over the last centuries, which has fed the prison industry tremendously. And now they don't want those marijuana growers and smokers and sellers in their jails. They'll need to put somebody else in there. But now you can buy that in many states all over the country. It's now legal. And we pointed out that it used to be the numbers racket was illegal. Gambling was illegal. And now they're legalizing all that. I mean, that's what your lottos are and everything. And it's feeding a certain element in society. You know, gambling is feeding a certain element of the character of society. People used to wonder, what's wrong with gambling? You know, I'm not hurting anybody. Well, when you, of course, you could be hurting yourself. It could be causing you financial difficulty eventually, especially if you get too addicted to it. But what gambling is, and somebody told me once that gambling, that's no different than what a farmer does when he plants a seed in the ground. He's gambling that, you know, that's going to come back up. No, gambling, this is gambling in a nutshell. You know, you take all your friends and you get them together, and everybody puts a quarter down on a blanket, and then we all say a prayer that we win the quarter. That's what it is, that we individually win the quarter that used to belong to my next door neighbor on my right side and my next door neighbor on my left side and the guy who lives across the street. I'm going to pray that I get their quarter. I mean, nobody's sitting there praying that, oh, I hope the guy across the street wins. There might be, but I hope that he wins because he really needs the money. You're praying that you get the quarter and your neighbors lose out. That sets into motion a spiritual ripple in society. Now, of course, gambling gets a lot worse than that. But that's when I discovered what gambling was. I was in the army and threw down a quarter, like everybody were coaxing me to do this, and you draw a card, and the high card gets everybody else's quarter. And I watched this, and that was the only time I gambled, and I was done. I said, well, that's a bad idea. And if you really want that, pray that the guy across the road, he gets all the quarters because he really needs the money, why don't you just go over and help him? Give him the quarter. Somebody once wanted me to buy a lottery ticket, and I said, so I don't have any interest in that. And it was a local raffle kind of ticket. And they said, well, the money goes to a good cause. And somebody had donated something, and you will win that thing, but you have to buy this raffle ticket. And then whoever wins the raffle ticket, they'll get that thing that was donated, and all the money from the raffle will go to buy, I think it was glasses for kids who couldn't afford glasses. And I said, well, you show me a kid who can't afford glasses, and I'll buy him glasses. But I'm not buying a raffle ticket. And it shut everybody down right there. I said, why destroy your charity by turning it into gambling? It's just not the way you should do it. It's wrong. But anyway, so what does that have to do with cancer? Cancer is a spiritual disease. It's a manifestation of a spiritual walking of society down the wrong path. And that, why I say walking of society, is because the individual may not have done a lot wrong, but he still got cancer. And what happens is we have a pharmaceutical industry driving the motivations of doctors. Doctors find out what they need to know about medicine because pharmaceutical industry is in the universities, in the colleges, giving grants, sending doctors to seminars, financing junkets to tell doctors, you need to give this, you need to give that, you need to try this new drug. And the fact is there are other solutions for cancer out there, mega solutions for cancer. And if you watch the video, you will see a lot of them. Now, all of them are not necessarily, I'm not trying to create another industry of alternative medicine. What I'm going to be talking about, and you can go watch the videos. Like I said, if you're on our network already, you would have gotten notification as when they started showing them. And they'll start showing them again. And the reason that we knew about this is because we have people in the network already who care about their neighbor as much as they care about themselves. I didn't get to watch the fourth episode until just an hour or so ago, and I was watching it as I was waiting to come onto the show and talk to you. And you hear this theme constantly popping up. Like one woman, she gave birth to her daughter on the same day she heard that her mother was diagnosed with cancer. She knew that if her mother went the conventional treatments of chemo and radiation, that she would suffer and die. And she did. She couldn't save her mother. But she has dedicated her life towards saving other people because of that. And that's one of the things I talked about in the last show, is that sometimes we have a loved one who gets cancer and dies. And if nothing else, in the process, they may be able to share something with you to awaken you. And that's really what life is all about. I mean, where did we come from? Where did you come from? You came from your mother's womb. And even if your parents didn't take care of you, maybe you were adopted out or whatever, maybe you were illegitimate and somebody gave you away, somebody has spent time taking care of you. And they have sacrificed their time, their energy, in taking care of you. And I come from a long line of people that have sacrificed a great deal to take care of their children. This is family values. This is what families do. This is why families are so important. And that's what you do in life. This is how life works. Life, and I gave the example of the fungus who gathers together on a petri dish and creates a tower out of fungus that is actually dying as it builds this tower, so that some fungus can go up and release its spores as high in the air as possible. And I just heard doctors talk about the different natural medicines that are actually in plants now, that haven't been, you know, some pharmaceutical company sends somebody to South America to find these medicinal plants and then turn them into a medicine that they can sell for. I actually heard somebody the other day, it for a bottle of the medicine, I can't remember exactly what, it was thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars for this bottle of medicine that they wanted somebody to take. And the fact is the individual, we actually had two ladies in the local community that had a particular problem. Both of the problems, I mean, that was similar problems with both of them. Both of them were caused by the medical society giving them medicine that created this problem. So the problem was created by somebody prescribing medicine that should not have been prescribed for them, because they already had, you know, they were older and they already had intestinal problems. And as soon as they found out that they had the one doctor says, oh, no, don't take that. If you've had that problem before, it says right on the bottle that if you have these other problems, don't take this medicine. And the doctor prescribed that medicine anyway. and they didn't read the label. Anyway, the point is they both had this problem. One was almost on death's door, and they finally found a very simple procedure, didn't require tons and tons of money, wasn't extremely invasive or anything, made a lot of sense, didn't involve any special expensive drugs or surgery or anything like that. And they did that, and they're out of bed. They're walking around. They're healthy. They're getting better all the time. Well, the other lady has the same problem, but she has a different doctor. And that doctor at that hospital doesn't approve, doesn't have a way of administering this other simple procedure. Instead, he wants to follow these other protocols that are going to cost, literally, before they're done, tens of thousands of dollars. The elderly woman is going to suffer for weeks now, already months, and she could actually probably go to get this treatment somewhere else. I mean, the treatment is, it's an in-house. You just walk in, you get the treatment, you walk out, and you're done. And you're healed because of this. And I won't go into the details because it happens to be somebody local. But anyway, people are being healed every day because they change their lifestyle. They eat differently. They exercise differently. Their outlook towards life is different. And this woman who found out her mother was going to die at the same time her daughter was born, she said that she has dedicated her life towards helping other people, and this has given her new life. This has given her new joy. The fact is, this is what we need to do across the board to heal society of all forms of cancer. We need to think a different way. And then we can not only heal physical cancers. The physical cancer you see in this pandemic, epidemic-type proportions is the result of other cancers. The political cancer, I gave the equation and the analogy and the metaphor of what a cancer we see in society. The Caesar cancer, where men are addicted to the idea of ruling over their neighbor, controlling their neighbor, compelling their neighbor to do things their way. And we see the same thing in religion, where you join this church and they're going to give you this itemized list of things you must believe or you can't be a part of our church. If you went to the first century church, what they believed was not an itemized list. It was a very simple list. There was two items in it. Love God, love thy neighbor as thyself. Well, your first neighbor is the other people in congregation with you. You had to care about them as much as you care about yourself. That was the entire social welfare system of the early church. Not that there wasn't social welfare systems around. As a matter of fact, that's why many Christians were persecuted, is they would not join the civil social welfare system run by Rome. They would not convert to the pagan social welfare system run through the temples of Rome or Judea by the Pharisees. They wouldn't go and sign up for those systems because they knew that those systems made the Word of God to none effect. So what were they doing different? They were taking care of one another through faith, hope, and charity. Like this woman who lost her mother and gained a daughter, now has dedicated her life towards helping other people, find the greatest reward in that. And you'll see, if you watch the video, you'll see over and over again, when people started caring, first forgiving themselves, started taking care of themselves, started changing their lifestyle, eating differently, but that even that was not enough. They had to change their emotional outlook towards other people. They had to care about other people. They had to, in order to do that, you have to forgive other people. Forgive them for what they do. Forgive them for what they believe that you think is incorrect. Forgive them. Still love them. Still care for them. Still help them. Let God sort them out. When you start doing these things, you will begin to realize more answers. You know, they were giving examples like there's a natural fungus fighting agent. You know, a lot of people think cancers are caused by fungus, and some cancers are the cancer is contributed to by the presence of fungus, because the fungus is actually producing certain chemicals. Parasites are the high priests of cancer. Parasites help cancers grow. And just to give you a brief synopsis, cancers come from these cells that are in the body that aren't yet decided what they're going to be. Their natural cells are a part of your immune system. It's what everybody's trying to get from the fetuses of children, these stem cells. That's where cancer, the stem cells that become cancer cells. Now, they will enlist other cells to help them in their process of becoming an entity within you. They become immortal. They don't die as far as age is concerned. Now, there are things that will kill them. And those things are found in nature. And they are in natural foods in abundance. But, like I was going to say, that fruit, when it reaches its vine-ripened fruit, reaches its highest sugar content, which is now ready to be eaten and consumed by you, because those sugars in the fruit are not processed. They are containing and connected to all kinds of other things, enzymes, minerals, complex chemicals that are going to be introduced into your body, going to pass through the only process they're going to go through is digestive breakdown process. Then they're going to pass into the cells of your body, and it's going to go through your body, and the insulin is going to help the each cell in your body pull in that sugar, and it's not going to be the sugar alone. It's going to be carriers of other important agents that give life. And so you can consume these vegetables and fruits, and they will bring certain things into your body. But if they're not vine-ripened, the chemicals that the plant produces to protect that sugar from being digested by foreign substances, where it can turn sugar into a toxin, you know, like funguses, is not going to be there. And of course, nowadays, in order to, because your food is shipped to you from a long ways off, and they want to prevent spoilage, because as soon as it's ripe, it's going to be likely wanting to spoil, they pick non-vine ripened fruit, so you will not get those chemicals, those antioxidants, those different chemicals that are found in nature that will help keep you healthy. So, you know, ultimately the solution was to start growing your own food in your backyard. Well, of course, you probably can't do that. You probably don't know how to do that. You probably can't do it enough. But the more you do it, two things are happening. One is there's a lot of things that are going to happen. This is the thing is, you know, when you eat natural sugars in the fruit itself, you're dealing with literally thousands of chemical molecules that will be entered into your body that will promote your health. But when you eat Fruit Loops from a cereal box, you're going to get all kinds of chemicals that will be detrimental to your health and will actually destroy your health and actually drug those parts of your body that would normally be producing a healthy immune system. So, I mean, the complexity of this is infinite. But what you need to do is start caring about yourself, caring about your children, caring about your neighbor, so that you start on this road where you start producing your own food. You can't produce it all, and you don't have to produce it all. One of the causes of cancer, people say, is meat. Because there has been studies that show that people who eat a steady diet of meat on a regular basis have a higher risk of cancer. And this was actually known almost 100 years ago. Because with the invention of refrigeration, the diet of the average person began to include meat on a daily basis. We were also there was an affluence that was coming to society, but you had refrigeration. You could put meat in the refrigerator. It would keep. So you could have meat year-round every single day for the rest of your life because of refrigeration. Well, the fact is if you fast from meat for just a couple of weeks, or say a month or 2 months, and you eat something other than meat for that short period of time, or, you know, like every 3 months you fast from meat for a week, or even just a few days, the danger of cancer from a steady diet of meat that was seen in statistics disappears. All you have to do is break that cycle. And what happens is, there's a lot of things that happen, but you're breaking the cycle. You should be eating seasonally. You should be eating stuff that you grew or grown by somebody near you. Doesn't mean that you can't eat a papaya or, you know, some, you know, tropical fruit. Doesn't mean that you can never eat at McDonald's again. That's completely your choice. But when you start adding this naturally produced food to your diet, whole things change. Now, how do we correlate that with political, religious, social, and spiritual cancers? Well, we actually already did, but now I'm going to show you where the connection is. Let's see, do we have enough time before the break? Oh, we're just about out of time until the break. I will say, I'll give you this thought, and then we'll go to break. That I was also listening to the head of chief of police in Germany, who's having a tremendous problem with the immigration there in Germany. And he says this is no small problem. And now the legislature's getting in on, they're passing new laws to be applied to these centers where these refugees are staying. Because it's not just, he says, it's not just domestic violence because people are, you know, in cramped quarters. It's a whole disrespect for the rule of law. There are rapes of women and children on a regular basis. There is riots. There is robberies. There is just an absolute, and it's not everybody. You know, he makes it clear that we have to, you know, he says, so what was the solution? Do we divide these people up and put them in separate places? Because you got Shiites and Sunnis battling it out. You got all of them hating the Christians and, you know, abusing them. You've got the natural, shouldn't say natural, but the common thinking in many of these religious groups is to suppress women and oppress women. So they have a whole rape culture. We talked about it on another show. You know, in Saudi Arabia, women weren't allowed to drive cars. But now they are allowed to drive cars, at least taxi cabs. And they have a whole fleet of women taxi cab drivers that take people, women around, specifically women around, in Saudi Arabia. Why did they do this? Why did they change the rules suddenly? Well, so many women were being raped by taxi cab drivers. Because that culture's, and their way of looking at things, is you're not guilty of rape unless you get four men witness the rape. And then when you are convicted of rape, if you got four men to do that, the woman is the one who's in trouble. She's the one who's likely to be punished if she can prove that she was raped, which takes away a lot of incentive to prove that you were raped. So now they allow women taxicab drivers just to cut down on the number of rapes a little bit. But it still goes on. There's a whole rape culture. Where did that come from? Well, it came because people are straying from a path, a way of living. And so it creates these relationships in society. And that's what we're going to talk about when we come back, is how these cancers, not only how the cancer, physical cancer works, but how these cancers in society are allowed to grow. And you will be absolutely shocked and surprised at the correlation of what they're finding out about cancer cells and what is going on in your society. But we'll have to do that when we return to Keys of the Kingdom after this brief break. Okay, well, welcome back. Well, you know, in my original notes that I was taking while I was listening to the video, and there's still hours and hours of it there, every night they offer another one. And there's just a vast amount of information. But one thing that you're going to be seeing if you do watch that, the truth about cancer, is that it almost seems like there's a conspiracy to keep people from becoming healthy and dealing with it, the healing of any disease, not just cancer. And it's like a conspiracy in the medical society. Well, I know some doctors that are really nice guys. They really do care about people. They have been somewhat brainwashed by the medical institutions, but a lot of these people that you're listening to on the video are doctors and nurses. Been in the health field for, you know, one lady, I think she said 17 years, and then suddenly she heard about a particular clinic that is now down in Mexico, and she was shocked at its success rate and what it was doing. And she said, I never even knew such things were existing. Well, the people who started the clinic was a doctor who went down there because he couldn't offer what he was offering in America because he was blackballed. And so he went down there and was offering it. And a nurse heard about it. And so she actually wanted to go down there and find out so she could prove that this guy was a charlatan and that his procedure wasn't working at all. And so he says, well, there's the cases. He had file cabinet after file cabinet. Now they've got tens of thousands. And he says, well, look at this. And she started reading the cases. And so she ended up working for him for the rest of her life. And her sister ended up working for him also, but she was in the business side. And she's still an elderly woman now and still owns the clinic, but somebody else is running it. And they're using the same protocols, which are extremely cheap and easy and have countless examples of how it has worked. There's other methods like the Gerson diet. And you start seeing a lot of these things, the Hoxie formula, I think is what it was called, in the one place. They have a different name now. Anyway, there's tons of alternatives. And they all seem to involve a number of things, such as cleansing the body of toxins, decreasing the amount of toxins that you bring in, certain things you just have to cut out of your diet, processed foods. Processed sugar is a toxin. And, you know, you could read all about the different kinds. I mean, we used to eat mostly cane sugar, and now it's a combination of other sugars and high fructose corn syrup, which is different than even the beet sugars. I know somebody who worked in a beet sugar factory, and they said they would never eat sugar again after working there. So you want to decrease the toxins and you want to increase the nutrients. And so there's usually involving some sort of cleansing of the body to get rid of the old toxins. Change of diet so you get in less toxins. So you're going to eat less toxic foods. And an increase of nutritional foods. produced in a number of natural ways. And, of course, if usually when somebody starts thinking about this, they've already got cancer. They're already in a compromised situation. They may have even been sent home from the doctors because they had already lost all their money and not been cured. And the doctors say, well, you know, you got 3 weeks to live or whatever, or 3 months or whatever, and they send them home to die. Well, I know people who did that, and, you know, personally know some that did that. And they didn't need to go home to die. They went home and changed their lifestyle. They began to change what they eat and all these things that they talk about. And the cancer went in remission. And they lived another 30 or 40 years. They were 60 at the time. And they lived it well into their 90s, almost 100 years old. With total spontaneous remission of cancer. And so what is that? That remission from just changing your diet, changing your attitude. They say you have to have this forgiving spirit. You have to have this caring spirit. You know, you start mending fences with family, and all these things have a healing effect. So how do we transmit that over into society in general? How do we go from a society that is racked with all sorts of spiritual cancers, political cancers, financial cancers? You know, somebody was talking about money and debating as to what money is. And, of course, money is all kinds of things, from seashells to Federal Reserve notes to gold and silver. But use different kinds of money and you get different kind of results. Use Federal Reserve notes, your entire nation will be swallowed up in a trust of perpetual debt, and your children will be born, you know, $50,000 to $150,000 in debt, and they will have to pay it off with their labor for the rest of their lives, and it will just get worse and worse and worse until there's a total financial collapse and absolute international slavery of all people. And we're in the middle of that now. And that was actually predicted by people who were in Congress at the time the Federal Reserve Act was passed. Said things like, this is going to create the largest trust in the history of the world. And what it is the largest cancer in the history of the world. And the money powers will assume control. And all freedom will be gone. You know, they said this way back then, 1913. And then moved out of the country. Famous individual. Had famous children. and an amazing family. But over the years, we've lost sight of all that. I can give you names and all that. But what's the point? Knowing all these different diets and these different solutions for cancer and all that stuff, you know. And I've touched on enough to know that you should be eating naturally. You should be eating seasonally. You should be spending the time to get the right kind of food for yourself and for other people. Very important, for other people. Share, you know, when people start growing their own garden and all this stuff, they want to share. And some don't, but if they don't, then they're missing half of the value of having your own garden. Is now you have something of value to share. I could share with you my Fruit Loops, except I don't have any Fruit Loops. I don't have any to share with you, but I could share with you fruit. Got lots of fruit. Lots of potatoes. Dug 100 gallons of potatoes day before yesterday. Or was that yesterday? I think I only brought in about 20 gallons yesterday, but... And there's still more out there. But anyway, so we talked about this immigration of a new idea and new philosophies and concepts coming into our society. And it's like an invasion. And we talked before about cancers, where the cancer cell is this separate identity that is growing in your body, enlisting the help of other cells, and eventually will invade other cells and other parts of the body and will squeeze out of the body its nutrients, depleting the body until there's nothing left to feed the rest of the cells. And most people will die of that depletion of life in the rest of their healthy body, and it will become unhealthy because the cancers will devour everything. Cancers love sugar, and so they're going to pull in sugar. They're also glutamate and glutamine. But they will pull that into the cell, and so it will deprive the rest of your body of these things. Now, most of your body can get along fine without glutamate. The brain needs it. But the sugar it's pulling in the sugar. Because all the nutrients that travel with the sugar, it isn't just the cell doesn't just need sugar, it needs those nutrients that are traveling with the sugar that are pulled in. The same receptors that pull in sugar also pull in vitamin C. And so if you have a high sugar content in your body, the cells are going to pull in all kinds of sugar, but they're not going to pull in all kinds of vitamin C. And when it comes to white blood cells, this is really a bad deal because they're going to need that vitamin C because they're the ones that are fighting off most of the invading microorganisms, which your own cells in you that are becoming cancerous are invasive microorganisms that normally your body would kill out under natural conditions. But you don't have natural conditions in your body. You have high amount of sugar in your blood, you have lack of nutrients in your blood and in your tissues, and your body has been depleted and depleted and depleted, and now it's finally shutting down and dying. And you think it all happened because you got cancer. It all happened long before. I mean, most people, when you finally know you have a cancer growing in you, it's been growing in you for half a decade or more. Maybe 2 or 3 decades, depending on how slow it grows. You know, somebody finds out they have cancer, they say, oh, you had 3 weeks, 3 months to live. And they think, oh, it's so fast acting. Well, it's been there for months, years. It didn't just happen. So now we see this invasion in Europe of these people are coming in and raping and robbing and rioting and the 3 R's, what do they call them, 3 R's? Reading, writing, and arithmetic. Well, you know, writing doesn't start with R. Anyway, but raping, rioting, and robbing. And, you know, if Europe was not absolutely, entirely filled with socialist states, they wouldn't be coming. They would not be coming. Now, that's the other thing, is the socialist state, see, you have to look at cause. You want to look at cause. Why is the socialist states, like Germany, is one of the inviting, you know, a year ago they were inviting, taking most of these immigrants. Why were they doing that? You know, there's already studies that come out that shows that Germany as a nation is going to be gone with the influx of immigrants. They're bringing in their own culture. The German culture is going to die. But the German culture was already dying. Why? Because they have like a 1.2 birth rate. A 1.2 birth rate, society can't survive. Well, why do they have only a 1.2 birth rate? Germans used to have big families. Why did that come about? Socialism. You don't need a big family in a socialist state. You got the government. Government's going to help you out. Your children, you're not going to need to depend on your children. You know, like I got friends in Holland. They say that if you have to go to the hospital because of a serious injury or anything, you better get your family down there because they're going to euthanize you almost right away, especially if you're elderly. And you know, if you want to open up a clinic for alternative medicine, you know, alternative ways of treating cancer in Holland, you can't do it. It's illegal. It has to be chemo. It has to be radiation. It has to be surgery. Now, you have to do that. And, of course, since the insurance companies are running through the government, you can't just go to Germany and get the alternative medicine. Or to Mexico. They won't pay for it. Fortunately, though, if you watch that video, you'll see there's a lot of alternatives that don't really cost you that much more. And you don't, and you should not wait till you have a cancer. You probably already have a cancer in you. Because there are cancer cells being born in your body every day. And your body's getting rid of them. But there's some that don't. And we pointed out that cancers, when they start gathering this tumor or colony of cancerous cells and enlisting the help of the other cells, and it's growing, this mass is growing in your body, and it's still a little tiny thing, you know, like a pinhead. It doesn't attack your cells. It doesn't, you know, it enlists, but it doesn't attack your cells. It doesn't want to seem as a foreign invader. It wants to come in as a friend. You know, I'm just over here doing my thing. Don't worry about me. But the bigger it gets, then it starts sending out fingers that strangle the body. Or, you know, tumors that just start, you know, producing toxins. And if there are microparasites in the body, you'll find them all around the tumors. And so, this is, now convert that concept over to your society. First, you have to have a place for this tumor to start, where everybody's going to be tolerant of its presence. Because it's, you know, it's just there. It's okay. It's just a different tissue. It's a different, it has a different lifestyle, different culture. But it doesn't, I'm not saying to be intolerant of people. But what happened is that they invited in socialism. And more, and they started feeding it. And now you have more and more socialists growing. And so now the birth rate drops because you don't need big families. But where's the workers coming from? This is why the culture, the German culture is dying, is because they don't need big families. They got socialism, but they need workers. So you're going to need to bring in more workers to tax, to pay for the socialism. So where are they going to get them? So they're bringing them in from outside their culture. And now they're discovering that it's causing rapes and riots and robberies on a massive scale, not only in these refugee centers, but out in the streets. And they're mobilizing against that. But it may be too late. They may not ever recover. And spreading all across Europe. Sweden. We know people. Sweden, Norway. This is affecting those cultures and those societies. They are being invaded. And I'm not saying the immigrant is the cancer. I'm saying the ideas of rape, robbery, and rioting are okay. Enslaving women or even men is okay. That idea, that concept of intolerance. You know, nobody squeals more for tolerance than Muslims today. But nobody is more intolerant than Muslims. Now, I don't want to make Muslims the boogeyman. You're the problem. Because you're not really Christians. You're not really being a Christian. And so therefore, these cancers are allowed to commingle in your society. These cancers of violence, robbery, rape, that is growing in your societies. And there's nothing to stop it. Because you don't have the healthy cells. Your children are not getting fed the proper nutrients physically, spiritually, religiously, politically, socially. And so therefore you're going to see more and more. See, if you, the first century church could not go get the free bread and circuses of Rome. because that was given to members of their civil corban, their civil welfare system. And Christians wouldn't join that system. They were idiotas. They were not participators. They didn't need to be because they had their own system of faith, hope, and charity in the perfect law of liberty, where they took care of the needy of their society out of love rather than forced contributions. Go back to John the Baptist. If you have two coats and your neighbor has none, share. Simple. That's it. That's Christianity. Love one another. Love righteousness. Tend to the weightier matters of law, judgment, mercy, and faith. You don't just love the people in your congregation. You love your neighbor, people out there on the street. You love them enough that if somebody's abusing your neighbor, you come to their aid. You do not covet your neighbor's goods, even through the benefits of men who call themselves benefactors, but are simply taking away from others. You've accepted that idea so much that so many of you send your kids to public school. And you don't realize that that's not just on paper. That is changing the way you think. It is making a home in you for a spirit of selfishness. You will excuse it and excuse it and excuse it, but you are being changed. Now you want to change back? You know, the right to choose. I'm pro-choice. Did you know that? I'm pro-choice. Now, what does that mean? Pro-choice. It means that I think that everybody should have a right to an abortion. That's what they say. You know, the pro-choice people, they're not pro-choice. They say pro-choice because they think that sounds good. I mean, it's progressive socialism. They think that sounds good because it's progressive. Progressive sounds good. I mean, they even name an insurance company Progressive. But pro-choice people want to force you to pay for their abortion. There's almost nobody who's pro-choice, what they call today, quote-unquote, pro-choice, that doesn't believe that the government should pay for anybody's abortion who wants to have an abortion. That's not pro-choice. I think if you want to have an abortion, you should pay for it. You should have the right to, and I should have the right to choose not to pay for your abortion. Not facilitate it, not help you do it. You got to go do it on your own. And all you other guys who say you're pro-choice, you pick up the bill if you think they don't have enough money to pay for it. Give me the choice of whether I have to pay for your abortion or not. Because I don't want to pay for it. That's pro-choice. I don't think that the government should be policing the womb of women. But I don't think women should be policing my pocketbook so that they can have an abortion for free. They should not make me do that. If they're really pro-choice, they will let me alone and stop making me fund their genocide. And I certainly don't want to be funding Planned Parenthood. I don't want to be funding systems of cannibalism. You know, devouring the fetuses and selling them for profit. I don't want to be a part of that and funding a company that does that. But that's what we're asked to do. But we're not asked nicely. We're forced to do it. You already are cancerous because you have that kind of ideas dwelling in you. You've made a home for cancer in you. What was the common theme you constantly see coming up in these videos on cancer? You hear it out of the mouths of these doctors that people have to start caring about themselves and about other people as much as themselves. Sharing. Caring. People making the video, you know, sure they're selling the video. They are making it for free. It costs a lot of money to travel all over the world and do these interviews and edit the film. And that, you know, I have no idea even what it costs. But they're letting you see it for free. You just have to go and see it. And like I said, if you join our network, somebody will show you how to start seeing it for free. And next time it comes available, we'll let you know then too. And if you have the money, you guys could all get together in congregation and buy one of those and share the video with other people. But you really have to do more than just watch videos and learn how to say some of these words. You know, I was trying to think of some of the ones that I was just writing down before. Phytoalexins and sevestrol. Depleted sevestrol in your body. They have all these names that I'm not really familiar with. But it all has to do with healing, natural elements of healing found in fresh fruits and vegetables and how to get it into your diet. As a congregation, you should be working on that. As a community, you should be working on that. You should be growing your own food. Grow your own. Grow your own medicines, which are basically food. All the medicines you need are found in food. Occasionally, you can concentrate some of them. Make tinctures and all those kinds of things. There's a whole world that we are ignorant of. It's like when my wife and I started having children, we wanted to have home births. We didn't know anything about it. We first time in the hospital, we had kind of a bad experience. And we saw, well, he's doing this and that. That's what's causing this problem. You know, we actually asked questions because that's the kind of guy I am. And we started thinking more. It wasn't until like the third baby that we actually had a home birth. But we had... We began to learn more and more. And we found out more. I mean, you couldn't even find a midwife in those days. They didn't even exist. But now there's a lot of that information out there. Well, we've also lost, how do you grow a garden? How do you preserve seed? How do you produce food that will give life? Why would you want to learn that? So that you can get life for yourself? No, it needs to be so that you can give life to others. You congregate so that you can be of service to others. That's giving life so that you can have life more abundant. That's the key. That's the natural. To consume, to take, to oppress is bringing death. So let's bring life. Let's start looking for that. Let's start gathering together with as many people as possible who are looking for life, not just for themselves, but for you, because they care about you as much as they care about themselves. And until then, may there be peace upon your house, and may God be with you. God bless.
You have been listening to The Keys of the Kingdom with Brother Gregory of His Holy Church. For more information on the educational ministry provided by His Holy Church and Brother Gregory, including services, counseling, lectures, books, and other audio materials, please write to His Church at Summer Lake, Box 10, Summer Lake, Oregon, 97640. You can also find us on the web at www.hisholychurch.net.